Story. This is the story of a man who lost his way at the crossroads. Marvin Miller stars as David Myers in The Barrier.
I sat alone with my conscience in a place where time had ceased, and we talked of my former living in the land where the years increase.
Good morning, Bellevue Hospital. One moment, please. I'll connect you. Good morning, Bellevue Hospital. Who? Dr. Tyson. I'm sorry, Dr. Tyson's in consultation. Will you leave a message?
Frankly, Tyson, I'm stumped. You've examined him from head to foot. The x-rays show nothing. Oh, no. Man is in perfect health except for this one thing. He hasn't spoken a word since he was brought in.
You can see he just lies there in a kind of stupor.
I think it might be a case of malingering, a pretense at being unable to talk.
But why, when you consider who he is, a famous Russian scientist, a brilliant mind? Now, somewhere along the line, his mind might have suffered a great shock. We'll have to find out what it was.
Who brought him here?
Martin Edwards.
The scientist from Columbia University?
Yes. He was Edwards' guest, but Edwards had no explanation for what happened. Mm-hmm. But all he could tell us was that Myers here didn't particularly like America.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor.
Yes, Miss Henderson?
There's a lady out here who'd like to speak with you.
Oh, I'm afraid I won't be able to talk with her right now. Did you tell her I was in consultation?
Yes, Doctor. She insisted it was important. It concerns the patient.
Oh, well, have her come in.
Yes, sir. Will you come in, please?
Thank you.
You wish to speak with me?
Are you Dr. Tyson?
Yes.
I read in the paper that David Meyer is... Could I see him, please?
Are you a relative?
No, but I knew him several years ago.
Mm. Your name?
Glassman, Elsa Glassman.
This is Dr. Gibson. He is the consulting psychiatrist I called in to help.
Glassman. You were a friend of David Myers?
It was a long time ago. Hmm.
Is there anything you could tell us about him which might help us diagnose his ailment?
What would you like to know?
Anything, anything at all. When you first knew him, where?
I knew David in Germany. We were born there in the same little town. He and I, his family and mine were friends.
Go on.
He was very smart in school. Some of the teachers, they said he was a genius.
Did you think so?
I don't remember. When we finished school, he went on to the university.
You still remain friends?
Yes.
Miss Glassman.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you a very personal question.
Please.
When did you stop loving him?
When did... Dr. Gibson, what makes you think I would ever love with him?
You were, weren't you?
Yes.
When did you stop loving him?
When he forgot. Love.
Love, 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 love.
Love. She still says, I forgot love.
But she's wrong. I didn't forget.
My words have been cold, selfish, hard. But deep inside, I've never forgotten love. Even after what happened back there in Germany in 1939, I didn't forget. Yes, Lisa?
How'd you stand there, Bergenberg?
Oh, I was thinking. This is our last night together. You are determined on going to America?
Yes, sir, but that's not the place for me.
And in America, do you think it will be different?
I do. In America, there's been no purge of musicians or writers.
Or scientists?
Or scientists.
I love you when you are angry.
How can you joke? Have you already forgotten what the Nazis did to your family?
I have not forgotten that I am being given a chance to continue with my work.
Caesar, are you really so cold? The Nazis destroy our people, and yet you stay here and work for them.
I am not working for them. I am a scientist. The results of my work here belong to other scientists who seek to make this a better world.
And if the Nazis are interested only in destroying the world...
Oh, they do not destroy.
The Gestapo, they don't destroy.
Germany is building a nation of strength, Elsa. The leaders tell us that on the radio, in the newspapers. There is no place here for the weak.
You're right, David. And that's why I'm going to America. Because I don't have the strength to live by the same ideas in which you believe. Come with me before it's too late.
No. American scientists do not recognize a foreigner. There I would be nothing but a democratic fool. Can't you understand that, Elsa?
I understand it's already too late. Poison's in your blood, David. It's already destroyed the love in your heart.
I didn't forget love, even after Elsa left for America. There are different kinds of love. A man's love for a woman, love for his family. I was in love with my work.
When I came to America, I didn't hear from him again. I didn't expect him. He'd made his choice. Nothing else mattered to him. That's when I stopped loving him.
I see. You never heard from him?
No, not directly. About 2 years ago, a cousin of mine came to America from Russia. She knew David there.
How did he get to Russia?
Well, during the war, he stayed in Germany and continued his work. When the war was over, the Russians took over part of Germany. And David was taken to Russia to work for them. Later, when Israel became a state... Have you ever heard of Yakov Tulin?
No.
He was a young Russian doctor with a promising future. He suddenly disappeared. Vanished.
Myers had something to do with his disappearance?
Yes. Jakob Tulin was the man David betrayed.
Betrayed? I didn't betray Jakob. It was just something that happened. Something I could not foresee. I was happy in Russia. In Germany, the Nazis used my work to destroy, as Elsa said they would. I was glad when they were defeated. When the Russians seized the Nazi laboratories and took me to work for them in Russia, it was different. There I was given my own laboratory, my own assistants. And my people lived with honor among the Russians. Oh, how happy we were when the Soviet recognized the new state of Israel. Party lectures were organized on the subject. My friend, Jakob Tulin, and I went to one of them.
Oh, think, David. After centuries of wandering, our people at last have a home.
This year in Israel.
Yes, this year in Israel. A recognized nation.
When are you leaving?
As soon as I can make my application.
Oh, I'll miss you, Jakob.
Ah, oh, you're still determined to stay here, huh?
Oh, I cannot leave. I've progressed too far.
David, I wish you'd change your mind and come with me.
And where would I get equipment to work with?
Well, the same place I'll get my medical supplies. Denmark, Norway, the United States.
United States? Oh, do you think they will send supplies?
But they've given their word.
Who has given their word? The monopolists who run the country? You take their word for the truth?
Oh, not their word. The word of the people.
Oh, the people cannot help you, Jakob. They are puppets in the hands of the monopolists. They move only when the strings are pulled.
Oh, David, don't you
see... Read the newspapers, Jakob. Izvestia, Pravda. Every day they are filled with examples of democratic decay.
Perhaps... But I am as stubborn as you, David. I shall still go to Israel with the belief that supplies will come.
Then go. But I stay here.
And so it is, comrades, that the state of Israel has become a reality and a home for the wanderers. The Soviet has only admiration for the valiant fight made by the people of Israel. The Soviet extends a welcome hand to these noble people and says, friend.
Ah, good speech.
Yes. A question, please.
Yes, comrade?
How should we make our applications if we want to go to Israel?
What was that you asked?
How do we make application for Israel?
Comrade, such a question is unworthy of a loyal Soviet citizen. You should prize your... Quiet, please. You should prize your citizenship too much even to think about leaving Russia. The thought is treasonable.
But for 1 hour you have praised Israel. You have called it friend. A home for the wanderers.
You will sit down.
What wanderers? Wanderers from where?
You will sit down, comrade.
In one breath you praise Israel. In the next you call us unloyal citizens if we ask to go there.
Hey, comrade, he's right. Foolish foreign citizens have been allowed to return to their country. Why are we not permitted to go to Israel?
Yes, you. You do not answer the questions, comrade speaker.
The lecture is over. I answer no questions.
Well, David, the Iron Curtain does not part as did the Red Sea.
Ah, good morning, Comrade Myers. What can I do for you?
Last night at the lecture, a friend of mine asked how he could get to Israel. There were others, too. They were called traitors to the Soviet. Why?
A friend of yours. That I heard of. What is your friend's name?
Yakob Tulin. He has planned a long time for the day when he can help our people in Israel.
And are there others who have planned with him?
Oh, there may be others, but is that a reason to brand Yakob a traitor?
Anyone who incites others to plot against the Soviet is a traitor.
Yakob has incited no one.
And did your friend convince you that you should go to Israel, too?
He convinced me of nothing. My work is here. But if the Soviet is a friend to my people, as you say it is, then Yakob and the others should be permitted to go to Israel.
There is no reason for you to be upset. He will take care of everything, I promise you. Sit down. There. Better. Comrade Myers, since the war, you have become one of our great young scientists. There are rumors of the Stakhanovite medal for you.
The Stakhanovite medal?
You would like that.
Oh, yes, of course.
You have been working very hard, comrade. Perhaps a short trip. A bigger laboratory with the best materials to work with would clear your mind.
I don't understand.
Comrade Myers, how would you like a transfer to our experimental center at Peenemünde?
Peenemünde? But that's in Germany.
It's in the Russian zone. You will be safe. You will go?
I don't know.
I will make the arrangements for a plane.
All right.
Yes, but... comrade?
What about Yakob Tulin?
Don't worry about your friend. I told you we will take care of everything.
Storm is getting worse.
Yes. Do we have far to go?
No.
Where are we now?
Where? We're somewhere about here.
But that is west. We should be flying south.
The storm is keeping us off our course.
Well, it couldn't have taken us this far off our course.
Well, then perhaps it was something else.
Something else?
Perhaps I took us off our course, comrade.
You? Why would you want to do that?
Because I want to get away from Russia.
What?
Why not the first? Tens of thousands of our Soviet soldiers and citizens have deserted Russia in the last 5 years.
But the Soviet has given you everything.
That is what they would have us believe. But the party does nothing for the people.
That is not true.
We are all prisoners of the Soviet, comrade.
I am no prisoner.
Even you are a prisoner. They sent you on a trip within Russian territory. And they will keep you in Russian territory, comrade. They will spy on you. They will know everything you do. They will make you betray your friends.
Lies, lies. Everything you say is lies. You will turn back the plane.
I will go on, comrade. We are over the Baltic Sea now. You can come with me, or you can bail out.
You will be returned to the Soviet and shot.
I will never return to the Soviet.
But where will you go?
Wherever I can be free. The gasoline is running out. Tighten your safety belt, comrade. I will try to land us safely.
How strange is the hand of destiny. The plane crashed into the sea and the pilot was killed. But he was free.
When I regained consciousness, I found I had been rescued by a passing freight ship. An American ship bound for New York. I was on my way to a country which stood for everything I had been taught to hate.
Mr. Myers? Yes? My name is Edwards. Martin Edwards. Oh, I'm a scientist at Columbia University.
A scientist?
Yes. When we read that you were at Ellis Island, I decided to come here and talk to you.
About what?
Well, you're quite a well-known scientist, Mr. Myers.
Thank you.
It's a pity you've had to waste your talents in the commies.
I don't consider that wasted, Mr. Edwards.
Oh, yes. Return?
There's no desire to remain in America.
Any particular reason?
Yes. Because there is nothing here in which I believe.
But you do believe in the Soviet?
I believe in a country which exposes the false premises of your decadent democracy.
They tell you that in their newspapers?
Yes.
And you believe it?
Of course, it is the truth.
Well, it may be a little while before the immigration authorities can arrange passage for you. In the meantime, I'd be happy if you'd be my guest.
You want me to stay with you?
You might as well stay with someone who can make you comfortable and show you around.
What do you mean, show me around?
Well, I thought you might like to have a first-hand look at New York, to see what makes us tick.
Where are you taking me?
I thought you might like to see what a communist daily worker is published.
You publish that paper in America?
Oh, yes. We publish all kinds of papers here. Then I thought I might show you the Russian consulate.
The consulate? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. That is where Oksana Kasyankina jumped out of the window because she was tortured by your American secret police.
No, you're mistaken, Myers.
It was in the Soviet papers.
Yes, yes, she jumped all right. But it was because she didn't want to be sent back to Russia.
I don't believe it. This is false American propaganda.
It happens to be true.
But then why didn't the Soviet papers print it?
You know, I've often wondered that myself. We have a lot of automobiles in America.
In Russia, we do not have so many.
Yes, but you do have.
Yes.
Who owns them?
The people's representatives, the commissar.
Uh-huh.
But the people own the factories they work in, the machinery they use. They divide the profit.
That's very interesting.
Why are we stopping?
Well, look, you see that factory over there?
Yes.
They make clothes there. Do you know who owns it and all the equipment in it? One man. Sam Goldberg.
Goldberg?
That's right. And do you know who gets the profits? The shareholders. Now here. Look over there. See that big parking lot next door to the factory? See all those hundreds of automobiles? The people own those automobiles. The people who work for the man who owns the factory. And the people can drive their autos wherever they want to in the evening when they finish their work. On their days off. Or when they get a vacation. You see, they can drive anywhere at all. Without any kind of permit or passport.
In Russia, there's no time for riding around in automobiles. The people must work.
Hello.
Oh, well, hello, officer.
You waiting for somebody?
Why, no, officer. I was just pointing out that factory.
Sorry, you'll have to move on.
Hmm?
Oh, the water pipe here is the loading spot.
Oh, I'm sorry, officer. I didn't know it.
That's okay.
All right.
That was your FBI.
FBI? Oh, no. No, he's a police officer.
But he didn't arrest you.
Why should he have it?
He said you broke the law.
Yes, that's right. I explained I didn't know I was breaking the law.
Oh?
Over here, we do things a little differently than we do in Russia.
Tell me something.
Sure.
You have many Negro policemen?
Oh, yes. A great many of them. Not only policemen, but famous singers, athletes, scientists, doctors. One of them was given a Nobel Prize for helping end the war in Palestine and paving the way for the state of Israel.
A lie.
Oh, no. No, it's true. Oh, that's right. I don't imagine you ever heard the name of Dr. Ralph Bunch in the Soviet. Your government-controlled newspapers probably felt there was no news value in an item on Dr. Bunch.
There would be chaos in our thinking if the government didn't control our newspapers.
There's no doubt.
Hey, get the news about the American Post. Hey, what do you read there, Mac?
Boy.
Yeah.
One of each, please.
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
You have so many different newspapers in America?
Oh, these are just some of the New York papers. Oh, you see, every city and town in America has its own newspaper. And every newspaper prints the news the way they see it. That's what we call freedom of the press.
And with so many newspapers, how do the people know which one they must read?
Well, they read any one they want to. Or they don't have to read any at all. Yeah, that's another freedom we have. The people can read what they want to and say what they want to.
I'm not such a fool to believe that.
Maybe not. Well, what do you say we stop in for something to eat? I'm getting hungry.
What is this place?
It's an Italian restaurant. It has the best food in town.
Hi, Mr. Allen.
Well.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you too, Angelo.
You've been busy.
Oh, yes, very busy. Oh, Angelo, I want you to meet Mr. Myers.
Oh, hello, Mr. Myers. I don't think you've come to my place before, eh?
No.
No, Mr. Myers is just visiting in America, Angelo.
Oh, are you going to stay here alone with Mr. Myers?
No, I don't think so.
What's the matter? Don't you like our country?
How's business, Angelo?
Oh, I'm still making a living, but the taxes are getting pretty high.
Well, that's the way it goes, Angelo. When the government needs more money, we get more taxes.
Sure, that's what I tell my customers. I don't like paying taxes. You know, I got the six bambini. Mm. But I pay. And sometimes I don't like how they spend my tax money. Like now. Look, Mr. Myers. Uh-huh. For years and years, we build the roads all over the country.
That's right.
Sometimes the roads have curves. Sometimes they go up and down. But we drive on them anyhow, and everybody's happy. Okay. But now, what happens? Somebody in Washington has got a big idea. They're going to spend money to take out all of the curves in the road. They're going to make him straight. Hey, is this why we pay taxes, Mr. Myers? Eh? Verbacco, let me loose in Washington and show you how to do things right.
Yes, I bet you would, eh?
Sure. The first thing I throw out is the congressman with the big idea. Hey, Tony! You're getting lazy! Clean up the table!
Here, now, take it easy, Angelo. You'll burst a blood vessel.
Excuse me, please, gentlemen. When I think what goes on in Washington, I get mad. Well, what are you going to ask?
Oh, my usual, Angelo. Pizza and beer.
And you, Mr. Myers, what are you having?
Just a cup of coffee. I'm not very hungry.
Well, Myers, what else would you like to see? Statue of Liberty, perhaps?
Must we see something or go someplace?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have been rushing you around quite a bit since you got here. Oh, but tonight, there's some place I must take.
Yes? Mm-hmm.
The concert at Carnegie Hall. I think you'll enjoy it. It's an all Prokofiev program.
Prokofiev is a Soviet composer.
Yes, I know. And when any concert features his music, it's pretty sure to be a sellout. Now, you'd be surprised how crazy our American music lovers are about Prokofiev.
We went to the concert. Mr. Edwards was right. Americans love Prokofiev's music. We did not stop there. For a week, he showed me American democracy, the American way of life. I went into a court of justice. I heard a man pronounced guilty of a crime. But he was not shot. I attended a public meeting and heard people criticize their president. But they did not vanish into thin air the next day. I saw many different kinds of churches. I saw books for sale, written by Thomas Mann and Franz Werfel. I heard and saw things which had been destroyed in Germany. I heard and saw things which had been condemned in Russia. I heard, I saw, and I wondered. Which was I to believe?
which was the deceiving propaganda. By the end of the week, I had made up my mind.
Well, Myers, so you've decided to go back after all?
Yes.
Your research would be a tremendous help to us here in America.
I must go back.
All right. All right, go back then. Go back to the lies and the deceit. Go back with doubts that will never end. But listen to me. When you do get back there, tell the Soviet people just one thing for me, will you? Tell them that that there Iron Curtain is a barrier which has hidden the real truth from them. Just tell them that.
Goodbye, Mr. Edwards. As I walked toward the gangplank, Mr. Edwards' words went through my mind.
That Iron Curtain is a barrier which has hidden the real truth.
Suddenly I knew the real answer.
Go back to the lies and the deceit.
Suddenly I knew he was right. But I couldn't turn back.
Doubts which will never end.
The doubts would never end. I'd go on, tortured by...
Tell them! Tell them!
I was at the foot of the gangplank.
Yeah, I see will you go on, please?
I couldn't go on. I didn't want to go back.
Yeah, easy, your ticket. Thank you. Will you go on, please? Will you go on?
Someone.
Will you go on?
Someone was speaking to me. But I was frozen in my tracks.
Will you go on?
I couldn't move, and I couldn't answer. I couldn't say anything.
Will you go on?
I couldn't speak.
We're going to try, Miss Glasson. He suffered some sort of mental shock. Just how to bring him out of it is a question.
Must be something to blind you, I think. This is only for some kind of emotion.
You still love him, don't you?
Yes.
There is still love in the heart for me. I have been blind not only to love, but to truth. I have wanted to believe, but the barrier shut out the light. I know that now. My place is here, where I can work with honor.
Look at Meyer's face. Yes. Well, Miss Glassman, I think everything is going to be all right now.
What do you mean?
Yeah, David Myers is crying.
You have just heard This is the Story, starring Marvin Miller in The Barrier. Bill Boucher was featured as Mr. Edwards, and others in the cast included David McMahon, Ken Harvey, Gene Young, Don Diamond, Peggy Weber, Jack Crucian, Robert Boone, Herb Ellis, Gypsy Ballou, and Lamont Johnson. Music was composed by Earl Lawrence, with musical direction by Michelle Perrier. The Barrier was written for This is the Story by Milton Kahn, produced and directed by Robert M. Young. John Harlan speaking. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.